to growing together, to steiging together, to learning Basar V'Chalav and Taruvas together, and being Amel V'Torah together. That's the goal, not just to know the material, but for us to grow in learning together. A few points just in terms of, as a way of introduction, about the booklet that's sitting in front of you, and in terms of Seder and Shir. So, in Seder, I will give you, Bli Neder, the Mar Mekomos, of what we're going to be learning, as well as early on in the week, you'll also have a sense of the structure of the upcoming Shir. After Shir, what we should do is share with each other emails. So I could, as soon as I have, and already I have from previous years, already the outlines I could share with you already a week in advance, and I'll do a share with you on documents, Google documents. I actually got it for the first time, so I'll share that with you, we'll be able, and you'll see as the week goes on, I myself will make adjustments and changes based on our discussions and our limud together and so on. And what you'll have on the top of the booklet is an outline of the shir based on this year's limud. What you should be focusing on in Seder is the Torah Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Nosei Kelim. Everything that's below, if you take a look at this week's booklet, everything that's below the general Marim Makom is a sense of what we're going to be discussing in shir. But you should be working on the Torah Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, and Nosei Kelim. Of course, everything starts with the Psukim, and it starts with the basic Gemaras. I will not put in the booklet, generally, the Gemaras. And therefore, I think it's a very good idea for not only that you should come to Shir with Basar V'Chalav and Taruvas. When we were learning, when I was in Yeshiva, Basar V'Chalav and Taruvas were separate. Most of you now have a newer edition that has Basar V'Chalav and Taruvas together. But as you'll see today, we're going to, even when we're learning Basar V'Chalav, we'll also make references to Taruvas as well. So you should bring both. But aside from that, having the Torah Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim, you should also have a basic Gemara with you. For the Chabura, we're going to need a Gemara with all the Rishonim in the back and so on. If you have a small Gemara, that's fine as well with just the Gemara Rashi, but you should try to bring a Gemara with you, because we're going to often start with the Gemara itself. This time, what we're going to do for the first year is a little bit more of a Hakdama. What we're going to do today is not going to be entirely typical of the way we're going to attack the Shulchan Aruch. Siyata Deshmaya, I would like to start today right off the bat trying to understand the Geder of the Isser of Basar V'Chalav. So let's begin with the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. In Pei Zayin Aleph, Kasa B'Teira, Loisev Ashol G'di B'Chalevi Moishol Ishpanim. Torah tells us the Yisr of Loisev Ashol three times, in Shpatim, in Kisisa, and in Parshas Re'eh. Echol L'Yisr Bishol, Ve'echol L'Yisr Achila, Ve'echol L'Yisr Ana. One, Chazal understand, refers to the prohibition of cooking, the other, Achila, and the third, Hana. V'Hoitzi Achila B'Loshem Bishol. But the Torah says it all three times. Loshem bishul loy sevashel gidi b'chalevi moy loymar she'ein asim in atera ela derech bishul. The emphasis of loy sevashel is to tell us that it's only derech bishul. Now this is a little vague. Let's define what that means. Ela derech bishul. Ela derech bishul means that the only time the construct of basar b'chalav is going to constitute a basar b'chalav entity is if it's been cooked. If it has not been cooked, it will not qualify as being an entity of basar b'chalav. If you take a look, the Shach spells this out in Sifkatan Aleph. She'ein asam min atera ela derech bishul klaymar. What's the mechaber saying? Avoloy ayidei kavashu melicha. If you've soaked something and if you've salted something, so then even though we know from Hilchas Taruvas that tam has been imparted, in other words, if you soak meat and milk together for 24 hours, you will have tam basar b'chalav in that entity, but nevertheless, even though it has tam basar b'chalav, it doesn't qualify as derech bishul. And if it's not derech bishul, then that entity is not a basar b'chalav cheftza. And therefore, if you ate it, you wouldn't be over the isur d'oraisa of basar b'chalav, of achilas basar b'chalav. Avol continues in the mechaber, back into the mechaber, midrabanan asur b'chalav. But midrabanan, it's still going to be asur. Kavish and melicha is going to be asur midrabanan. To flesh this point out a little bit more, let's say we have macholas asuras that is being soaked. You have a piece of nevela that's soaking with another piece of meat for more than 24 hours. The tam of the nevela goes into that other piece of meat. In such an instance, if you eat that other piece of meat, you will have violated, if it has tam, and you assume tam kikur is d'oraisa, then in such a case, you will have violated the isur d'oraisa of eating nevela. However, if you have basar b'chalav, where you had the basar soaking with the chalav, you've not created the isur d'oraisa of basar b'chalav. And a lot of what we're going to focus on, b'siyata d'shmaya today, are these distinctions between the isur of basar b'chalav and other isurim. So that's how the mechaber starts out, based on the Lashon HaPasuk of Lo Sevashel Gedi B'chalev Imo. The Ramah concludes, and we're going to get back to this Ramah, but this is very, very important right off the bat. Kol basar b'chalav she'ena asar min ha'teira, mutar b'ana. If the basar b'chalav is asar midrabanan, for example, the case of kavush and maliach, so then in such a case, then hana would be mutar. When is it? Does the din d'oraisa of the yisur hana apply? Only if it was derech bishul. But if it wasn't derech bishul, if it was kavush or maliach, so then in such a case, halacha would be that one would be allowed to derive hana'ah from such an item. We'll discuss in Mirtz Hashem on Thursday that it's not so muchrach, such a shita of the Ramah. The Ramah stakes out this position. And that, by the way, bottom line is halacha l'maisa, that when you have an isur d'rabbanan of basar b'chalav, you will not have an isur hana'ah according to most poskim. Okay. Keeping in mind the immediate contrast that the Shach gave us between Derech Bishul and all other forms of Macholos Asuras that are not dependent on Derech Bishul, let's turn back to the Prima Gadim's Hakdama, the Psicha of the Prima Gadim. And what we're going to do, as you see on the outline, is we're going to outline, how many do we have in this list? At least six differences between the Isra of Basar B'chalav and other macholos asuras. So let's the psicha of the Prima Gadim is fantastic. So we'll I didn't want to assign you to do it because I want you to already get your feet wet in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Noseh Kalim and so on. But we're going to go through Keseder, the nafkaminas between basar b'chalav and shari surim. Every single one of these nafkaminas is also going to serve as a hakdama to becoming familiar with very fundamental terms in Yaradeya, in Isser v'Hetter as well. Almost every single one of the nafkaminas are going to introduce us to some very, very basic terms in Isser v'Hetter. So if you take a look at, let's go Keseder, let's start with Aleph. You guys have it, right? In the Psicha, the Prima Gadim, in my edition, it's right before the Shulchan Aruch. The Prima Gadim writes, Basar b'chalav sh'nisar v'yachad al yidei bishul haroi, nesru shneim b'achilu b'ano min ha'ter. V'ilu shari surin ha'nehugin, distinction number one that the Prima Gadim gives is that in general, basar b'chalav is different than most macholos asuros that are mutter b'hana. So nevela is mutter b'hana. Basar b'chalav is asur b'hana min ha-Torah. That for the Prima Gadim is distinction number one. Distinction number two introduces us to a very, very, very important concept. And that is the concept of chaticha nasis nevela. Chaticha nasis nevela is one that's going to occupy us tremendously for most of the year. And that is the following idea. Chaticha nasis nevela means that if you have a piece of meat, and on that piece of meat, you have milk that falls onto that piece of meat. How is tam, or isur, of basar b'chalav transferred to a broader taruvas? If that piece of meat that has tam chalav inside of it falls into another pot, I would have thought that the rest of the food only becomes asur if the taste of both basar and chalav is transferred into the next food. However, the halacha chaticha nasis nevela says as follows. Once you have a chatichas basar that has the identity of basar b'chalav, that it has tam chalav inside of it, then that becomes like nevela. The piece of meat itself becomes a cheftza of isur, and then that would aser the other pieces of meat, even if tam basar b'chalav does not go into the other piece of meat. As long as the tam of that meat goes into the other pieces, so then in such a case, that will aser the rest of the food. That's the rule of chaticha nasis nevela. That's the rule of chaticha nasis nevela. Says the Prima Gadim, we're going to see that there's a major machlokis rishonim of whether chaticha nasis nevela is a special din of basar b'chalav, or it applies also to shar isurim. In other words, it could very well be that even though we say that when a drop of milk falls onto a chaticha, that it becomes a nevela, and even though basar chalav is not extended into the other pieces, and only the tam of the basar is extended to the other piece and makes it asr, that's in regards to basar chalav. But when it comes to, let's say, the isur of chalav, if chalav is fat, which could be liquefied as well, chalav falls into a piece of meat, so then in such a case, that's called an iser balua, another important term. An iser balua. The chalav has been balua into the chaticha. What if that chaticha falls into a pot? So then in such a case, the chalav, according to many, will not aser the pot unless the tam chalav goes into the other pieces. If the tam of the basar that's holding the chalav goes into the other pieces, but not the chalav itself, so then in such a case, that would not qualify as chaticha nasis nevela, because there's no rule of chaticha nasis nevela by shari surim. Chaticha nasis nevela is a halacha in regards to basar b'chalav according to many rishon. Take a look at Beis in the Prima Gadim. Basar b'chalav, chaticha nasis nevela, ve'efshar l'softo aser bo min haTorah. We'll skip the term efshar l'softo for now. Of course, we're going to have to work on it later. Ve'ilu shari surin, efshar l'softo v'chaticha nas nevelo have el midrabanan. It could very well be that Hanan is only going to be a din derabanan. I throw out an open question to think about, to be amel, and say there, what would the svara be? Why would it be that when it comes to basar b'chalav, is it connected to any of the above and future distinctions that we're going to discuss about how basar b'chalav works and the nature of its iser versus shar isurim? But we have our next nafkamina, I think we're up to nafkamina number two, between basar b'chalav and shar isurim, is that when it comes to basar b'chalav, there, according to many rishonim, and that's how the mechaber paskins, chaticha nasis nevela applies min haTorah, but when it comes to shar isurim, at most, it's going to be a din derabanan. Similarly, we have something that's unique in regards to basar b'chalav, another massive, massive sugya, and that's the sugya of tam ki'ikar. Gemara in Pesachim on Mem Dalet Amud Beis, we're going to have it in Chulin Kuf Ches, but it's even, if you want to delve into sugya of Tam Ki'ikar, it makes more sense to focus on the Gemaras in Pesachim that are very, very explicit about the Hagdaros, the boundaries of Tam Ki'ikar. The Gemara in Pesachim, starting from Mem Gimel all the way through Mem Dalet, weighs the Makoros of Tam Ki'ikar. Tam Ki'ikar means the following. Tam Ki'ikar means that even though you don't have a Kezayis of Isser, but if the tam permeates the taruvos, so then in such a case, then we say that the item is going to be asur min haTorah. Normally, when it comes to, let's say, chalev, the isur of eating chalev is to eat a kezayis of chalev. A shir achila is going to be a kezayis. What happens if you liquefy the chalev again, and that tam falls into a taruvos? So then in such a case, the man d'amar who holds a tam ki'ikar makes it asur min haTorah. For example, the Gemara says that when it comes to a nazir, so a nazir who eats a piece of bread that has been soaked with wine, so then in such a case, that piece of bread, the Gemara points out, the pasuk seems to say mishras anovin, that which has been soaked with grapes. So the Gemara says maybe that's a makar, the tam kikar is min haTorah, or nazir is different. Nazir is an exception to the rule. So when it comes to the rule of Tam Kikr, there we have a machlekes in the Gemara whether Tam Kikr is a din d'oraisa or not. In other words, is it asur just like eating the kezayis of chaylev when you have tam chaylev? Is it asur to partake in the in an item that has imbued the taste of isur? That's the question of tam kikr being minator or not. So as Primi Gadim points out, that's a big machlokas in psachim, taking a couple of dapim. However, when it comes to basar v'chalav, everybody agrees. And here we'll even give a little bit of svara. Hanan, we're going to leave off with the svara for now. When it comes to the tam ki ikr, so there by basar v'chalav, for sure tam ki ikr is minatar. And the Gemara says, that's part of the pasuk itself. Loi sevashel gedi v'chalev imo. The essence of bishul, if you think about it, the reason why we create food through cooking is cooking has a power to impart taste. So therefore, Loi sevashel gedi v'chalev imo tells us that when it comes to basar v'chalav, the ikr is the taste. You don't need a kezayis of chalav and a kezayis of basar. All you need is the tam chalav to go into the basar. Once you have the tam chalav into the basar, so then in such a case, you have a cheftza of basar v'chalav. The Prima Gadim goes on to point out that an extension of this nafkamina is you don't need a kezayis of both chalav and basar. All you need is the tam of either the basar or the chalav. Generally, in the examples that we've been giving, is the tam chalav going into the basar. And then in such a case, then you're going to have the din d'oraisa of tam ki ikr. But there are many who are going to hold the tam ki ikr up and through Reb Chaim discussing what the Shitas HaRambam is in regards to tam ki ikr, whether tam ki ikr is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. There's a major, major discussion to this day whether tam ki ikr is d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. That major discussion is only by Shar Machalos Asuras. When it comes to basar b'chalav, because the Torah formulated the Isser as Lei Sevashel Gedi B'chalev Imai, so therefore the din of tam ki ikr is going to apply throughout. Another nafkamina is going to be in regards to the way the Torah formulated the Isser. The Targum Unklis on Loi Sevashel Gedi B'chalev Imai in this week's parsha, and as well as in Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisisa, the Targum Unklis in all those places says Loi Seichlun, one shouldn't eat. He translates Loi Sevashel all three times as Loi Seichlun, that one shouldn't eat. But the Torah doesn't write the Lashon Achila. Even the one pasuk that corresponds to the Yisr Achila, the Torah writes in all three instances Loi Sevashel. So the Rambam has a very interesting explanation. Reb Oren pointed out that it's based on Gemaras. The Rambam in Perek Dalet, in Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Yud and Yud Aleph, points out that there's, aside from all the other halachos that we're learning out that's unique about basar b'chalav, from the fact that the Torah formulates it in terms of bishul, also tells us another din. And the Piskei Tshuva quotes this in Sifkat and Aleph. If you take a look, Piskei Tshuva, right, the first thing, Le'eser Achila, says the Piskei Tshuva, Va'av shelo kederech achila v'hana asar v'leikin alav. Even it, though one derives benefit in a manner that's abnormal, not the normal way in which you eat, so then that also qualifies as the Isser D'oraisa of Basar B'chalav, of having Hana from Basar B'chalav. Let's take a look at the Lashon HaRambam. Let's take a look at the Lashon HaRambam. The way the Rambam says it is quite interesting. Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Yud and Yud Aleph, not Yud. Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Yud and Yud Aleph. Kol ha'oichlin ha'asurin, ein ha'chayiv aleim, ad she'yoch losan derech hana. Chutz mi basar v'chalav, as well as klay ha'kerem, lefi she'loi nemar behen ala achila, ela hoitzi achilosan b'loshan acheres b'loshan bishul. So since the Torah formulates it differently, so what we're saying is as follows. What we're saying is that in order to have the Isser, you're not constricted by the regular term of achila. So therefore, it no longer has to be done kederach achilasan. When the Torah went out of its way to put in bishul, something else happened. And what happened is that now you're going to be chayiv even shelo kederach achilasan. So what number nafkamina are we up to right now? This was four. We just did four. We're up to number up to number five. Number five is what we saw in the Shach. What we saw in the Shach, that the Shach said that it's only Derech Bishul that's going to be the Isur D'Oraisa, and it's not going, as we saw, and the Mechaber alluded to, but if you have Kavush or Miluach, so then in such a case, that's going to be only Asur Midrabanan. Even though, as we pointed out, when it comes to Machalos Asuris, the Halacha is different. Number six, another Nafkamina. Yes, Binyam.
On the previous Nafkamina, yeah. They only need Chatzik Zayis and Chatzik Zayis Chatzik.
Correct. To be Chayim Min HaTorah? Oh, is the Rambam talking about Malkus, or is the Rambam talking about the Isur D'Oraisa? Which Rambam are you talking about? Basa v'chol v'asal v'asha v'asal achla min ha-toira. V'chein ha-oichal kizayis mishneihem. Right. So what does Mishneim mean? Umi sheyivashel Mishneim kizayis ke'echad. So I understood that what he meant was that you're being mevashel from both of them something that equals into a kizayis. That's how I understood the Rambam. Okay. So that's in regards to Nafkamina number five. In regards to Nafkamina number six, Chaticha haru'uya l'skabed. The din of Chaticha haru'uya l'skabed. So Chaticha haru'uya l'skabed, let's explain that halacha. That's going to be a simin in Hilchos Taruvos. If you have a Taruvos, a mixture, so then normally we have a basic rule when we're talking about Taruvos, a Yavish v'Yavish, and that's the rule of Bittel. If you have three pieces of meat, we're now introducing the basic concept of Bittel. If you have three pieces of meat, two of them are kosher and one of them are not, so then the halacha is, based on different mekaros, let's go with one mekar, achri rabim lahatos, you follow the majority, that you, if you pull out one of the pieces of meat, so then in such a case, it's considered kosher because you follow rov. Of course, in Hilchas Taruvas, we're going to have a question, what does that mean? Could you eat all three? Or maybe you can eat them zeh achar zeh, or maybe you can't eat one of them, you could just eat two of them. The Rush is going in the 7th parak of Gidon Rush, I think Simon Lamed Zayin or so, has a collection of 5 or 6 different shitas about the halacha when you have a taruvos of yavesh b'yavesh. At the end of the day, the rule of yavesh b'yavesh is that you follow the majority. Okay. There's one exception to that rule. The exception to that rule is the chaticha haru'uya l'skabit, or there are a few exceptions. One of the exceptions is the chaticha haru'uya l'skabit. The whole concept of bittel is as follows. This is important. Keep this in mind as we continue to learn together. Bittel is the following. When you have a majority, then the minority loses its identity when surrounded by the majority. That's how bittel works. So therefore, if you have two pieces of kosher meat, so the minority loses its identity vis-a-vis the majority. However, if each one of them are chashuv, and that's what Hilchos Taruvos is going to be full of, where you have a mixture where it has items that are not prone to be assimilated into the majority. They have chashilas by themselves. For example, it's a beria, or it's a davar chashuv. What's an example of a davar chashuv? A chaticha ruya l'skabe. If this is an item that you would give to someone as a full meal, it's such a chashuv a piece of steak, so then that doesn't assimilate to the other pieces of steak. So that's the din of chaticha ruya l'skabe. What would happen, Rabosai, if you had the following? You had a chelev that fell onto a piece of meat, again, liquefied chelev, and it gave its time. It's now full time throughout the piece of meat of chelev. And that piece of meat falls into another two pieces of meat. So simin kuf aleph, siv bei, simin kuf aleph has the halachos of chaticha ruya l'skabeg. We say, that's not a din of chaticha ruya l'skabeg, because the chelev is what we called an iser balua. It's absorbed into that chaticha. So since it's balua in that chaticha, the chelev is not chashuv. So the chelev could still be subject to bittel. What happens if what you had was a piece of milk that fell onto a piece of meat. If you had a milk that fell onto a piece of meat, and that was a steak, so you have a steak that's basar b'chala, that's mixed up with two mahagrin steaks, so then in such a case, that is a chaticha ruya l'skabed. So here we see what comes out, and this is the terms that the Shach uses in Simin Kufhei, is that when it comes to basar b'chalav is an iser machmas atzmoy. Basar b'chalav becomes an iser by itself. However, when it comes to shari surim, many times a shari surim is an iser balua. One of those nafkaminas is going to be chaticha haru'i l'skabi. So we had, how many nafkaminas? Acharei kechlos hakol? Six nafkaminas. In terms of the difference between basa b'chalav and shari surim. Amongst them we had was whether there is an isra anah entirely. We spoke about chaticha nasas nevela. We spoke about tam ki ikar as being a nafkamina. Shelo kederach hanasan, kavush and meluach is just as significant for shari surim in contrast to basa b'chalav, as well as when it comes to chaticha ruya l'skabed. So there we see that crunches the difference between an iser meluach and an iser machmas atzmoy. Yes, Eitan.
I'm still confused with the idea of the meat. Similar to the way
you're what, I didn't hear what you said. Which case?
The meat which is royal is cabbage.
Yes.
So
should I explain the halacha again?
Confused between that and chaticha nasas nevela.
Right. The difference between the two is chaticha nasas nevela is not a case of where you're mixing up dry pieces of meat. Chaticha nasas nevela is when it's giving off its tam into a liquid mixture. This is talking about where you have only dried pieces of meat. But there might be other differences, but that would be the easiest for you right now. And the fact that it's not clear is not to you entirely, is because this is the first time we're really discussing these concepts. As time goes on, you'll see more of the difference. I wouldn't be worried that if you're being honest with yourself and you say you don't have it 100% clear. But just get the cases of what they are, and eventually when we start Chatir and Asim, it'll become... Rabbi Glanz, I forgot your first name.
Binyam.
Binyam, yeah.
But would we say that like the underlying concept of chaticha nasas nevela and the chaticha ruya l'skabed, that is the same for us? It's always that it's different than other Yisroel.
You could go in that direction. I'm gonna keep things exciting. I'll keep things suspenseful. I don't want to speculate too much right now how chaticha nasas nevela works. It'd be my pleasure to do in the Beis Medrash. Now, it's fine for us to start throwing out svaras, but I would rather just become familiar with the basic concepts, and eventually we will discuss, Emir Tzah Hashem, the svaras as well. But I'd like to keep it just that chaticha, again, for the most difficult concept in all of this, is chaticha nas nevela, so let's keep it simple now, and we will, don't worry, Rabbi Yom, we'll get there, the siyata d'shmaya. Chaticha nas nevela means that if you have tam that falls onto a piece of meat, so if it's basar b'chalav, then everybody agrees that if that piece of meat gives off its tam to other pieces of meat, so then in such a case, then it's going to aser the rest of the tarugas once the tam has been given off, even though it didn't give off chalav. It only gave off the tam basar. That's the rule. That's chaticha nas nevela. What's that?
If it's chaylev, then it has to give off
the tam. And if it's chaylev, then it has to give off the tam. Correct. Unless you hold chaticha nas nevela, even by shari surim. That's going to be... the Machlekes Rishonim, if you want to take a look, it's Taisus on Daf Kuf, Taisus on Daf Kuf Ches. If you want to see the Taisus inside, we're going to, with Mirtz Hashem, get to it even in the afternoon. Rabbi Kiva Eger has an absolutely beautiful diuk over here on our page in the Shulchan Aruch that sort of crunches the Lashon of the Ramah and wraps up our first topic. Our first topic was the differences between Basar B'chalav and Shari Surim. The next topic that we're going to discuss is particularly the Torah's, pardon the term, the Torah's obsession with Lo Sevashel. We're going to discuss what significance the Torah's obsession of Lo Sevashel, how to understand it. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger so beautifully. Rabbi Yisai, take a look at the Ramah again. The Ramah said in Sif Aleph, Kol basa b'chalav she'ena osu min ha'teira, but mutar b'hanah. Any basa b'chalav that's not Isa Daraisa is mutar b'hanah. Now, what would you say about Bishul on an Iser Derabbanan. Let's talk in theory and Lamaisa, and in Lomdus we'll wait till Thursday. But let's talk Lamaisa in theory and Lamaisa. Basar of Bechalov, chicken in milk, is only Derabbanan. That's not Doraisa. Well, at the Maskana Sagamar, right? On Daf Kuf Dalet, or Maskana Sagamar according to Ravashi. Basar of Bechalov. Tov. So Rabbo said, what's the halacha? Are you allowed to cook? So this comes up, by the way, people who are in schools for cooks. What's it called?
Culinary
school. So people who are in culinary school, so are they allowed to cook chicken and milk together? Basar b'chalav would be asur, whether they're going to eat it or not. That's a real, real problem, not going to culinary school. Basar b'chalav. Nevela is not going to be a problem in general. But basav, cooking basav b'chalav, that's going to be an issur d'oraisa. What would you say about chicken and milk? So we're going to have machlokes and gemara, machlokes and rishonim. What's the bottom line? Take a look at the mechaber, pei zayin gimel. The mechaber says, ein enoyeg el besar behema torah b'chalav behema torah, etc., etc. He says, u'besar chayev of, halfway through sif gimel, afilu b'chalav torah, mutter b'bishul u'bana. It's mutter b'bishul u'bana. So Rikiva Eger has a beautiful kasha on the Ramah. Why did the Rama say kol basa b'chalav she'ena asav minateira mutter bahana? The general rule of thumb is when it's only asav midrabanan, it's also mutter b'bishul. So why did the Rama not say mutter bahana u'b'bishul? A nice kasha, no? Says Rabbi Akiva Eger so beautifully. But once you internalize the difference between basa b'chalav and shari surim, then we know why the Rama didn't say Bishul. Because what happens if you have something that's kavush? Basar b'chalav, that's been soaked for 24 hours. Are you allowed to eat it? Absolutely not. It's asur midraban. Is it asur min haTorah? Is there malchus? No. It's not going to be asur min haTorah. That's the halacha in regards to kavush. So it's asur midraban. What would happen if somebody would go and he would cook that which was kavush? Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, you'd be over the Issur d'oraisa of basar b'chalav. Because it wasn't basar b'chalav, min haTorah, it was only basar b'chalav midrabanan. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, I know why the Ramah used the word mutter bahana and didn't say bishul. Because it's not true. Kol basar b'chalav she'ena asav min haTorah is mutter bahana, but some of them are going to be asur and bishul. What would be that case? That case would be kavush and levushul. Isn't that such a beautiful Rabbi Akiva Eger? I told Reborn that, you know, the fancy Rabbi Akiva Eger is with a real bomb kasha and fancy terutzim. I don't know if I always feel shaykh to them, particularly sometimes the terutzim. You know the joke they say that somebody brought a sefer where he had answered all Rabbi Akiva Eger's kashas to the Satmar Rebbe, Zichron Elevracha. And he asked him for a haskama for the sefer. So Satmar Rebbe wrote him a glowing haskama. And let's say there were, Rabbi Akiva Eger has 700 kashas, let's say, on Shas. So, and he answered 300 of them. So Satmar Rebbe wrote him a glowing haskama. But this man was zocha to understand 400 of Rabbi Akiva Eger's kashas. That was his haskama. So in regards to Rabbi Akiva Eger's kashas, that sometimes the kashas, especially the complicated ones, are hard, and the terutzim are even more complicated. By the way, we have a tradition in the yeshivas that every single time you're miyashir Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha, you always have to also explain why Rabbi Akiva Eger didn't give that teretz. You don't always do that for all full achronos, but that's a hanacha, that there's always going to be an explanation why Rabbi Akiva Eger didn't give that teretz. Anyhow, so this is not a complicated Rabbi Akiva Eger. Why he didn't give this is just a Rabbi Akiva Eger that's mamish pshat, but so beautiful. It's a brilliant Rabbi Akiva Eger without being difficult. Again, let's see Rabbi Akiva Eger in Sifkat and Gimel. Mutter ba'na v'hadu le'kasav the mutter be'bishul haynu de'kayel be'basa b'chalav ayde kvisha melicha. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, because you would have a case of kvisha and melicha, which is only going to be basa b'chal midrabanan. But zeh asur b'bishul. Then it would be asur b'bishul. Kiva de b'kvisha melicha nivla ba'achalav. Ukishi Yivashil, and when he cooks it, Umivashil Ata Basar Acholav Shebesaycha, Va'iver Mishum Bishul, and Enochanami, it's going to be an Isser Daraisa Bishul. By the way, one could have argued, not like Rabbi Akiva Eger, but Rabbi Akiva Eger, but I'm not aware of anybody, any raya against Rabbi Akiva Eger, that the halacha would be that once you have something that's Kavashim Meluach, even though it has Tam already Basar Bechalav in there, nevertheless, the halacha is that one would be over the Isser Daraisa of Bishul. What we will have to discuss, which we'll do shortly, today, the rest of today, we'll focus on the word Bishul, Loisavashel, is discussed. Well, what does that say about the rules of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? Is there Bishul Achar Bishul Basuchav? We know in Hilchos Shabbos that a kugel that's been already cooked, so that's on Yisur Daraisa to cook it again. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar. B'davar Yavish. What would we say in regards to Basar B'chalav? Amevin Yavin, this Rabbi Akiva Eger is inching us towards that question. And in fact, not coincidentally, his son, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, is the first important Marim Makom on that question. But that we'll get to Emir Tzeshem in a few minutes. Before we go on, I want to make sure that we tie the sugya of Bishul together in terms of the conceptual implication of the Torah's formulation. As I mentioned, the Targum Unkla says, Lo yisavashu gudi b'chalev imo refers to an iser achila, and he says in all three of the psukim. Now there's a lot to say about why the Torah uses the term Lo yisavashu, if the Torah means achila and hana. And in a way that's a sugi of parshanut and not for Isser v'heter. But at the end, but since we're going to be spending so much time trying to understand Basar B'chalav, it would be wrong without trying to give some understanding of the Torah's formulation. If the Torah meant achilin ana, why didn't the Torah say lo? Why didn't the Torah formulate this way? So last time we learned that Shmuel Drach pointed out to me that the halachos that we're about to develop already seems to be explained beautifully by the Ksava HaKabbalah. If you take a look on the first page of the booklet on the other side of the Marim Makomos, so the Ksava HaKabbalah, is a phenomenal, phenomenal sefer. He points out on the bottom of the first column, this is in Shmois, Chav Gimel Yutes, that the Torah, when it uses the term Bishul, doesn't always refer to cooking. For example, the Torah says, Hivshilu Eshkilo Seha. And Yosef's dream also, he speaks about the grapes being mivushal. And Pasuk in Yoel describes that the tvua was already ripe. And therefore the word bishul doesn't only mean to cook. Take a look at Ksav HaKabbalah. He actually gives three different definitions of the word bishul. Again, this is not a parshanut class and I can't spend too much time on it. But it's a beautiful, beautiful Ksav HaKabbalah. Everybody knows what the Sefer is about. Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah is all about showing that the drashos of Chazal, how they fit into Lashon Kodesh and could be understood even on many levels of pshat. It's an absolutely glorious sefer. People who know Lashon Kodesh and appreciate Chazal love that sefer. My father maybe well really knows Lashon Kodesh and he loves Chazal. He loves the sefer Ksav HaKabbalah. Because for most of us, when we learn Halach, okay, this is Chazal's drasha. My father asked, so how did Chazal get to that? Where do you get that? So the sefer Ksav HaKabbalah is devoted to that approach, and he had a very, very deep understanding of Halacha as well as a deep understanding of the Lashon HaTorah and Lashon HaChazal. So if you take a look on the last line, he uses the Yiddish word in parentheses. He says ripe. The Vashel means to make, also refers to something being ripe. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, six lines from the top, V'hu inyan ha-hechsher la'achila. That loisavashel means to prepare something to be ready for human consumption. And that consumption could be either achila or any other type of ana. So in the words of loisavashel, already you have an allusion to human consumption. To human consumption. You hear Rabbi say? The word loisavashel means to cook, but it also has human consumption. So Chazal had their cake and ate it at the same time. When it comes to achila, so then in such a case, what do you got? The rule is that you'll never have an Isser achila without derech bishul. So every single time, the Torah doesn't write it loisaychu. It doesn't write Leisaychlu, because Leisaychlu has limitations. We saw in the Rambam, Leisaychlu would connotate only Derech Achila. That's not the halacha by Basa B'chol. By Basa B'chol, it's even Shaloka Derech Achila. So it doesn't say Leisevasha, Leisaycha, Leisenu. Rather, it says Leisevasha three times. All three times, it has the connotation of Achila and Anah. It says another time also to accentuate that over here, of course, it is Bishul as well. And it's telling us that the only time this ripe, this derech hechsher l'achila is going to be basa b'chalav, it is if it's derech bishul. If it's not derech bishul, das heisnish basa b'chalav, then it's not going to be basa b'chalav. Take a look at Ksav HaKabbalah. It's a very, very beautiful maramakum. I'm indebted to Reb Shmuel, who pointed out this Ksav HaKabbalah. He pointed this out after I shared with the Talmidim the very famous Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Havas Hatoma. The Kesef Mishnah is bothered that the Rambam says that when the Torah says lo sevashel, it's a kal v'chomer that the iser achila. The Rambam says that if bishul is going to be aser, certainly achila. You might fit the Rambam into back into the Ksav HaKabbalah's pshat. Maybe you won't fit it, the Rambam in Avos Hatoma back into. I'm sorry, the Rambam appears in Machlos Asuris, where he says, where the Torah asers Bishul, certainly the Torah is asering Achila. Whether the Rambam means what the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying, whether the Rambam doesn't, that's not my Asik right now. The Kesef Mishnah is bothered, but don't we have a rule of Ein Onshin Min Adin? At the end of the day, if it's pure Kal V'chomer, you don't get Malkus on it. We know that there's Malkus on Basar B'chalav. Rabosai, if you understand the Kasha of Ein Onshin Min Adin or you don't, that's less important than the one line of the Kesef Mishnah's answer. The Kesef Mishnah says, it's photocopied on the second page, where he says, Inami, three lines from the bottom in the old edition of the Kesef Mishnah. Dimashma shelo osar Torah levashel, Ella kidei shelo yavo lechol. That when the Torah uses the term lo sevashel means to prepare for eating food. In other words, lo sevashel itself, the way they say over in the yeshivas, according to the Kesef Mishnah, is a harchaka of the din d'oraisa. It's well known, Rabbi Yosef Engel says that there are times that when you have a harchaka d'oraisa, for example, it could be that the Isra of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzai is a harchaka d'oraisa of the Isra Achilas Chametz. Maybe, you could say it that way, you could say it differently. At the same tune, says the Kesef Mishnah, that when it comes to the Isra Bishul, the Isra Bishul is a harchaka for Achila. Again, does that fit nicely into Ksav HaKabbalah or not? Not so important. The Ksav HaKabbalah stands by itself, and what we're being introduced to now is that different ways that the Mefarshei Halacha understand why the Torah says, particularly Lo Sevashel, and their understanding that Lo Sevashel is a geder for the Isser of Achila. The way we, who learned the Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, always remember it, is the way Rav Shechter Shlita says over from Rav Soloveitchik, and I have this in the Mipnine Arav, in Basar B'chalav, a fascinating shayla that was brought to Rav Moshe Soloveitchik 70 years ago. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zatzal was asked by a person who was taking chemistry in university, and he was asked whether he's allowed to partake in a chemical study that involved heat where the ingredients were Basar B'chalav. So if you take a look at the Pnina Rav on page Kufnem Numbeis, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was Matir, based on that Kesef Mishnah. And he said that since the Kesef Mishnah says that Lo Yisoychal is only, that Lo Sevashel is only a Geder La'achila, and that's what the Rambam meant, that's a Kal V'chomer, and therefore Va'mevin Yavin, you don't have a problem with Einon Shin Min Adin, because it's not, the Rambam never meant the classic Kal V'chomer. The Rambam meant that is that in the words Lo Sevashel, you have a Harchoka D'Oraisa of Achila. Maybe for the Ksav HaKabbalah's reason, maybe not. But either way, you have this Harchaka. But if you know for sure that you're not going to come Lidei Achila, so then in such a case, you won't be over the Isser D'Oraisa. Uma Ma'od Samachti, that the Shabina Rav, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in Yeshiva University in the late 1930s, was Mechavein, no, say it the other way, The Chabina Rav in Yerushalayim in the 1940s and 1950s was mechavein to what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said in Yeshiva University in the late 30s. The Chabina Rav Zatzal was asked the following shayla. No, people generally don't think of the Chabina Rav and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik in the same circles, but it's the same Torah. Hakol Niroya Echad. That's the beauty of Torah. So the Chabina Rav was posed the following shayla. It wasn't the days where it was easy to send mashkichim across the world to give hashgacha for fancy chocolates. And what they wanted to do was check whether the chocolates actually had animal fats. There were fancy chocolates that they were choshesh had animal fats inside. So the Chabina Rav was asked that they were able, in those days already in the 50s, they were able to check chemically whether there was any animal fat, to heat up the chocolate, and then they'd be able, then there would be signs of whether the chocolate had strains of animal fat inside, which would be the mamish basar b'chalav. So they would throw it out. If that's, and kanireh, the Dovid Misharim thought that might be enough in terms of verifying whether it wasn't basar b'chalav. That would be enough. Maybe you don't need to send the mashgiach all the way there to make sure that there isn't animal fat. But of course, but that's an Issa D'oraisa, maybe, of Bishul. So Dovid Misharim quotes his Kesef Mishnah, and he says that if it's going to, ultimately is going to be thrown out, so then in such a case, then the halacha is that it's going to be mutter. The other Rav in Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, strongly disagreed. The Yalkut Yosef quotes this on page Kuf Pei in Yalkut Yosef. Of course, for Sfardik Psak, the Yalkut Yosef is a tremendous, tremendous resource. Unfortunately, we have to speak to the chief rabbi. Unfortunately, he hasn't written on all of Basar B'chalav Taruvos. He wrote only on the first half of Basar B'chalav, so we have to give him some vacation to be able to write on the rest of Isser V'Heter Chavah, because we don't have enough Yalkut Yosef on all of Isser V'Heter. But he has over here this discussion. His father, Chacham Avadya Zatzal, was matir in the case of Tigun. If you have something that's fried, so then in such a case, then maybe Tigun is not Bishul. We'll get to that towards the end of this year. And so he, Chacham Avadya, it's Kedarko B'Kodesh, and it's Sarif Kulos. So maybe Tigun is not Bishul. And at the end of the day, maybe the Chabina Rav and Ramosha Salvechik are right. And at the end of the day, this is all connected to this idea from the Kesef Mishnah, which might in itself start from the Ksava Kabbalah, which connects back to the Targum Unklis, that Loisev Ashel always is going to be an Isser Achila. So it's impossible to separate the Isser Bishul Isser Achila, and it could be that the Isser Bishul is going to be a gether to the Isser Achila. Yes, Rabbi Yam.
Wouldn't this make it much easier to go to culinary school and use cheese and meat?
Oh, so the question, but there, somebody's going to eat it. So it depends on how you formulate what the harchaka is. Is it a harchaka for you? Or is it preparing something that's going to be edible? So that would be a nafkamina between the ksava hakabbalah versus, I mean, right, you got it? Versus the way I was saying, according to Rabbi Yosef Engel, right. But the Dafkin Halacha Shir, I try not to do too much theoretical lamdas. We're trying to stay within the halacha, but you're 100% right. If you push me, we get the lamdas also. Another nafkamina from the fact that the Torah formulates in terms of lo sevashel might be the Pischei Tshuv and Sifkatan Beis. If you take a look, the Pischei Tshuva quotes in the second part of, in many of yours it's Sifkatan Gimel in the Pischei Tshuva. Dibra Maskel Isser Hana'a. Everybody, what is it in yours? Dibra Maskel Isser Hana'a. Is it Gimel or Beis? Yours is Beis?
Yeah,
okay, someone told us Gimel. Okay. Says the Pischei Tshuva and Beis, Isser Hana'a. Va'ayim b'prim egodim b'psicha shen estapek I osser chatzi shir b'bishol v'ana'a min ha'torah. Is there a Isser of chatzi shir when it comes to Bishol? We know that the Gemara in Yuma tells us that Yom HaKippurim is coming. It's aser to eat a chatzi shir on Yom HaKippurim because it's aser min haTorah, because it's chazi l'tzerufe. Since in theory you could be mitzaref it, so then in such a case, when it comes to achila, not only is the kezayis aser, but chatzi shir is also going to be aser min haTorah. That's how we paskin. So the Prima Gadim has the following shayla. What would be in regards to a chatzi shir. We know that chatzi shir is asa b'achila basa b'chal, but is there an iser chatzi shir when it comes to basa b'chal? That might get involved, Rabbi Yamin, also with the culinary things. Maybe there are instances where it'll be a chatzi shir. So if you hold chatzi shir is mutter when it comes to bishul, maybe bishul and achila are two different rules. At the end of the day, because achila is based on the idea of that's chazilitz terufe. When it comes to bishul, maybe the rule of chazilitz terufe is not going to apply. So I saw that the Magia on the Rajva points out on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis that l'chura this should be totally in this Kesef Mishnah. That if we're going to say that the bishul is a separate din from achila, it's entirely separate, then the rules aren't necessarily going to apply. Bishul and Aron will have its set of rules, and achila will have its set of rules. However, if we're going to say that bishul is a gzeira of atu achila, in other words, the whole iser is that don't do this because you might come to eat it, so then, of course, we would say the chatzi shir should also be aser, because it's just a geder not to do that din d'oraisa. It won't be malchus, but it would be an aser min haTorah, just like the chatzi shir itself. So that's the Bala footnotes in the Rajba makes that point. They think that's a brilliant point. Finally, the Magen Mishnah in Perek Tes Halacha Dalet points out that it could very well be that everybody needs, or most need to learn that way. We're doing in the morning the opening Mishnah of Kol HaBasar says, Kol HaBasar Asa Levashel B'Cholav. Now, Kol HaBasar presumably also refers to chicken as well, right? Kol HaBasar, you would say, at first glance. So the problem is, wait a second. But we saw that most Rishonim say that that chicken isn't part of the Yisr Bishul. We saw that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. So it says the Magen Mishnah, Levashel sometimes means Achila. That Lav Dafka, he says, the Rambam has to hold this way. The Magen Mishnah says that in Perek Tes Halacha Dalet. So if you understand that that Bishul and Achila are interchangeable, so then there might be room to say that. The moment in which you understand that Bishul is a separate world in and of itself, so then the Magen Mishnah becomes hard to understand Perek Tes Halacha Dalet. So just to crunch, we saw that when it comes to Roman numeral 2, Roman numeral 1 was the Yachas between Basa B'Chol and Shari Surim. Roman numeral 2 is the relationship between Lo Sevashel and the Isra Achila. The dramatic nafkamina when it comes to chocolate of the Doivim Misharim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank disagreeing, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Chiddush in regards to the laboratory, and the beautiful explanation of the Ksav HaKabbalah and the dramatic formulation of the Kesef Mishnah, where he says that the Isser of Bishul is some type of harchaka for Achila. It's not a Kal V'Chomer, but some type of harchaka. So then once you have that Kesef Mishnah, there's room to open, the floodgates open for these dramatic heterim that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and the Shabina Rav had. Once you go that far, then we added two other nafkaminas, one in Pshat, that when the Mishnah says kol ha-basar she'asa levashel, their bishul doesn't always mean bishul; it means achil. That's how the Magen Mishnah understands the Perek Tes Halacha Dalet. And then, in terms of the gzeira of chatzi shir, the iser of chatzi shir, do you say that just because chatzi shir applies to achil, it automatically applies to bishul? That's the question that the Pisrei Tshuva raises. If katan beis, one could argue that that should be dependent on this. Yes, Ravon. Correct. Right. Ravaran's pointing out that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's less of a chiddush than the Dov Misharim. The Dov Misharim is a bigger. I believe so. Yeah. But he said since it's not going to be eaten, then in such a case. But take a look. We have the Mar Mokom of the Dov Misharim. Chacham Avadia quotes it. I looked it up. It's pretty brief. He doesn't spell out too much. Part of it is you have to look into the Metzius. When I spoke about this once in a shul, so I did some research about this question, and they still, in England, they still do this. You know who does it? People who b'shita don't want to have hana from animals, vegetarians and so on, they found that there were chocolate companies to this day that were putting animal fats inside of the chocolates. So they themselves, so it was an outcry from people who are allergic and people who are opposed to putting animal food into food. So they also have mastered this this chemical testing of being able to test the chocolate. So it's still done to this day. It was a fiasco in England about 4 or 5 years ago. So, yeah, Eitan, you had a hand up?
If they weren't sure if there was, isn't the double chain of scabbing?
What's that?
Isn't the double chain of scabbing if they weren't even sure there was going to be?
Well, we'll talk about the definition of Dover Shem Iskan. It depends on how you define Dover Shem Iskan. I don't think that that would be relevant in this case. Okay. We said that the Rabbi Akiva Eger begs the question of Ein Bishl Achar Bishl. Let's take a look before we get into the nooks and crannies of what qualifies as Bishl. Let's take a look at the formulation of the Ramah when discussing the details of Bishul. And the Ramah has a list of chashos. In Pei Zayin Vav, the Ramah has quite a few chashos of Bishul Basar B'chalav, and Rav Shlomo Eger jumps on one of the Ramah's formulations. So in Siv Vav, we're going to have these fascinating chumras of the Ramah. It's a unique Ramah. It's going to be actually the first Ramah we're going to work on, and it's not typical of the Ramah, but either way, the second chumrah that the Ramah has, where you have by the Shach Sifkatun Yunches, the Ramah says the following: Yesh Omrim, the Aser Lachtos Ha'esh Tachas Kederes Shalgoi, Ufishe Mevashlim Behem Pam Chalav Pam Basar, Va'Mechate Tachas Kederes Shalahem Boli De Bishul Basar B'Chalav. The Ramah has the following chumrah. He says you can't stoke the coals under a Gentile's pot, because there are times that they cook milk inside, there are times they cook meat inside, and you're going to come to Bishul Basar B'chalav. So Rav Shlomo Eger immediately begins to analyze what exactly is the Ramah's case. Says Rav Shlomo Eger, in my edition it's Ois Yudalid, corresponding to Yesh Aymrim, L'chor Mikan, Yesh Raya L'chor Mikan, the basar v'chalav shekvar nispashel yachad asal vashel shenis. Even though we have a rule of ein bishul achar bishul when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, Rav Shlomo Eger suggests that based on the Ramah, so how would we say it? Rav Shlomo Eger holds that even though by Shabbos we have a rule of ein bishul achar bishul, when it comes to basar v'chalav, we would say yesh bishul achar bishul. That's known as Rav Shlomo Eger's shita. In fact, there is much confusion what the Prima Gadim holds on this issue. The Prima Gadim by us, in Sif Seidas, Sif Katon Yurches, also starts off, and he says, Uladina Basa B'chalav Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. Now, I leave it as an open question what the Prima Gadim holds. I would like you to come back to me, Purim, Mirtz Hashem, on Purim, come back to me. What is the Prima Gadim Sheet of Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul? There are like four different Prima Gadims that seem to say different things. So that would be something fun to do on Purim together. At the end of the day, I'd like you to collect the different Prima Gadims. The Stimas Prima Gadim over here is like Rav Shlomo Eger. At the end of the day, I'll try to point out as we go along where sometimes it doesn't seem to be Mashu, if I remember. But at the end of the day, Stimas Prima Gadim, Sif Seidas, Sif Katun Yutas, is also like Rav Shlomo Eger, and that is Hilchos Shabbos. We have one set of rules, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, and comes to Basar B'chalav, then in such a case, the Isser of Bishul is going to apply. However, there are other Shitas, it seems. Both Rav Soloveitchik as well as Chacham Avadia pointed out that there is a Rabbeinu Gershom on Kuf Ches Amud Beis. I believe I photocopied for you this Rabbeinu Gershom. I'm not going to do it inside. It's already almost 10 after 4. But I would like you to look it up inside. Rabbeinu Gershom is on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, I believe, who says that when it comes, that who seems to disagree. He seems to hold that if you have something that was already cooked and you cook it again, the Rabbeinu Gershom describes that if you have meat and milk that came miyore gadol, it's a machlokas between Rabbeinu Gershom and Rashi, how to read the Gemara, so then in such a case, if you cook them again together, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, so then you won't be over the Isser Bishul, you would only be over the Isser of Achila. If you want to see it quoted, I heard this first, so Michavivus de Taraso. I enjoyed very much the first time I learned Basa B'chal of hearing Chaburas from Rabbi Ganak. Rabbi Ganak basically said over Chidushim, what we did is we heard Rabbi Ganak's Chidushim, and we read Rabbi Miller's Shlita's notes from his Shiur Chaburas. That's once upon a time. That's how we did it. Rabbi Ganak, I remember discussing this. So I photocopied from his sefer. He quotes it, this Rabbeinu Gershon, very beautifully. It's in the booklets right after that Rabbeinu Gershom, and he quotes it verbatim. It's actually clear here, there's a contrast to hieroglyphics, and he points out that Rabbeinu Gershom is the exact opposite, that he holds Ein Bishlach HaBishul. But the problem is, if that's so, then what was the Ramah talking about? Because the Ramah, Reb Shlomo Eger is right, the Ramah seemed to be talking about a case where you have meat and milk that Goyim, who have meat and milk utensils. Now those meat and milk utensils were already used, so you should have a problem of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, he quotes from the Rav Zatzal, and you have it from Rav Konigsberg's notes, with Mirza Hashem in another few months. Rabbi Reichman will be putting out his notes on Chulin. I was zochet to work with him over the summer, and he wants to continue learning with us. So I have it, and he was mevakish that I share with you the notes, so you could be part of the printing of Rishimas Shiurim, Shiuri Hagrid on Maseches Chulin. It's about, and he's towards the middle end of it. So I have it. If anybody wants to work on it, and so on, you could be a chelik of that sefer. So he, Rabbi Reichman, is using Rav Konigsberg's notes as well as other notes. He has it over here on page Kuf Pei Gimel that the Rav suggested that Rabbeinu Gershom is a middle position, and a very, very beautiful middle position. And then in this room, Rav Miller Shlita explained a little bit more of what the Rav was driving at and applied it in other instances. And that is the following. Rabbeinu Gershom could be right, and the Ramah could be right. How? There could be two different types of Bishul Achar Bishul when it comes to Basar B'chalav. You could have Bishul Achar Bishul of Basar B'chalav when the Basar B'chalav has already been cooked. And Rabbeinu Gershom says that if they fall out of the Yorah Gadol and you cook them together again, you won't have the Yisr Bishul, you'll only have the Yisr Achila. But then you'll have a case where the meat was cooked and the milk was cooked. And then you cook them together. There, do you say, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? It's true. They've already been cooked. And in Hilchos Shabbos, it could be that in such a case, leaving aside the, let's say you held Ein Bishul Achar Bishul even B'davar Lach. So it could be in Hilchos Shabbos that in such a case you would say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. However, when it comes to Basar B'chalav, the Isser is not the act of cooking. And here Rabbi Osa, everything comes together. It's Mamish Mesamech. It's Mamish worth a rikud for this. The Isser of Basar B'chalav is creating the Ta'aruvas of Basar B'chalav. That's the Isser of Basar B'chalav. Loi sevashel gedi b'chalevi mai. What the Ksava HaKabbalah said, to make ripe, to prepare the Basar B'chalav for Achila, is to create the conglomerate of Basar B'chalav al yidei bishul. So even though the meat has been cooked, even though the milk has been cooked, the Isser is to create the conglomerate of Basar B'chalav. If that's so, if you could kvetch into the Ramah that we were talking about, that the goy had already cooked with his pot, but he hadn't cooked basar b'chalav together, and now he has basar b'chalav together, and you're stoking the coals, which is doing the bishul. So that's the case of the Ramah. It's not Soiser Rabbeinu Gershom. That's what the Rav Zatzal suggested, and that's what the Tosefes Beyer that Rav Miller added. That the Isra basar b'chalav is going to be creating the conglomeration of basar b'chalav, and therefore the Ramah's psak would not be against Rabbeinu Gershon. It's mamish mesameach, and that fits in even with the ksav akabolas havana of what the emphasis of lo sevashel is. Lo sevashel is preparing this new entity of basar b'chalav. Tameh hamitzvahs also, we haven't touched the tameh hamitzvahs. What's so terrible about it? But that we'll have to leave. For now. But at the end of the day, that is going to be the Yisr of Basar B'chalav. That would be the Yishuv. It's Mamish Mesameach. The Vard is Mesameach. Lanias Daiti, it's Amita Shel Teira. It's beautiful. Although I don't know if it's Amita Shel HaRamah. If you take a look in the Teiras Chatos, which is one of the Mekoros of the Ramah, there, the Teiras Chatos And that maybe you could do some research when working on this Rama, whether the Rama was working off, the Rama himself is the author of the Torah Chatas. So the Pashtus is that whatever the Rama writes in the Torah Chatas is the same thing that he holds in the Rama himself. So you take a look in Torah Chatas, this is Ani HaKotan Mai Hosafa, that the Torah is beautiful. The Torah is beautiful, but I'm not sure it fits into the words of Rama. Kasa goes Mordechi, all the way in the end of the Torah Chatas, Ayin Zayin Yud Beis, Kasa Vagos Mordechi, Periklat Zlam, Sha'asa Levashal Basar Beis Yisrael, Bekder Shom Nachri, Shep, so the case is, it's a Jewish home, and a Gentile's pot. Shema Yichata Yisrael B'gacholam Tachtel, V'hagoy Bishel Ba Basar B'cholav. And the guy already cooked in it basa chalav. So what does he mean? The guy is now cooking basa b'chalav, or the guy had already used this kedera for basa b'chalav? The pashtus, I thought, and the Torah Schatas himself, was that the guy had already used it for basa b'chalav. So then, even though the Rav's Torah is right in terms of his hagdara of basa b'chalav, it seems to be emes la'amito, in terms of whether that could be used to deflect the kasha from Rabbeinu Gershom, I'm not sure. In other words, it could be the Rama for some reason is being more machmir. Also, did the Rabbanan? Maybe it could be Ein B'shach Abishol Min HaTorah, but somehow mid Rabbanan he has a chash. That might be what's going on in the Rama. Yeshua, you had a question before.
Yeah, if we're assuming that this is the, I'm understanding this right.
Sure.
If we're assuming that it's the first time that they were cooking the pot together,
right?
Then why do we have to assume that they were even cooking beforehand?
Right? No, the Vard is as follows. The Rama was talking about clearly foods that were already cooked before. And Rabbeinu Gershom says, Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. The Rama is Choshesh for foods that were already cooked before. So the Pashtus is like Rabbi Shlomo Eger said, that even though we have a rule of Ein Bishol Achar Bishol comes to Choshabbos, by Basa B'chalav, there's...
Where is he getting it from that the Rama was saying that the food was cooked beforehand?
Oh, because he said, the Rama said, Lefi Shehem Mevashlim Bahem. There are times that they cook in them, Pam Chalav, Pam and Basar, that it sounds
like in the pot currently.
You're right. You could read it, and in Seder, I'd like you to try to attempt to prove that your pshat is correct. Rav Shlomo Eger did not understand that way. Okay. Rav Shlomo Eger understood that there was already time in it. As far as the details of this Rama right now, my interest is much more understanding Leisavasha Gediva Chalevimo before getting into the Rama. I'm just bringing out what is the nature of the Geder is Bishul. I'd like to leave those details for now. So, but the nafkamina would be, is this does come up, lemaisa, maybe now just to add that in terms of halacha lemaisa, this l'chura, how you understand the Rama is going to be very, very practical. This comes up. When you're working around a place where there's utensils of Gentiles that one would believe there's basa b'chalav inside, do you automatically have a chash of lo savasha? According, if you read the Rama like Rav Shlomo Eger, then you can't be mechata in all of those places. So, for example, first example that comes to mind: we just flew back to Eretz Yisrael. So, could a religious man or woman be a steward or a stewardess if the kelim over there are already basa b'chalav? So, if we're talking about new chefza basa b'chalav, then you've got a separate problem. But what happens if we're talking about a chashash that there are blios of basar b'chalav in such a case? So if you hold that that like Rabbeinu Gershom, so then for sure there's not going to be a problem on the kederos. However, if you read Reb Shlomo Eger the way he read the Rama, then ein echanami, then you're going to have a problem anytime you're heating something up where you have something that even in the past has been already cooked. That's going to be a problem according to Rabbeinu Gershom. The way Reb Soloveitchik understood it, the only time you're going to have a chash is when you know that they're introducing new chalav and basar together. But previous tamim of basar b'chalav is not going to be a problem. Okay, Rabosai, a couple points of bishul just to wrap up. B'siyata d'shmai, let's take a look. Let's do pei zayin vav just for being magdir. What is bishul? The mechaber says hamu'ushan v'hamavushal b'chamei tveria. If one smokes. Now this is important. Many people mistranslate what mu'ushan is. Mu'ushan means to smoke. Like you have is, you know, a salami is sometimes smoked and those types of foods. So here the question is whether that qualifies as bishul. If you smoked basar b'chalav, or if you cooked v'chamei teveria, ain't lokin alav. So mu'ushan is interesting. Mu'ushan is a shaila in the Yerushalmi, whether that qualifies as bishul. And since it's a suffix of the Yerushalmi, the Rambam concludes, since that it was never concluded what the halacha is, that ain lokin alav, that there isn't an iser, isn't iser markus, but nevertheless, it's going to be aser to be to do ishun. So that's going to be aser. Chamei Tveria, of course, is hot springs. It's reminiscent of the Gemara's discussion about being mevashel b'chamei Tveria on Shabbos. Now, in regards to a microwave, that's a fascinating shout. That's going to come back to the previous question as well when it comes to the kederos of goyim. If you have a larger microwave or some type of instance where you're choshesh that maybe there's residue of basar b'chalav in a microwave, does a microwave constitute an iser d'oraisa of basar b'chalav? So Rav Neman Sal Shlita understood that that would be totally in the famous machlokas between his great Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, this is what he told me, and Rav Moshe Zatzal. That Rav Moshe was of the opinion that cooking in a microwave on Shabbos, their machlokas is in regards to cooking on Shabbos in a microwave. If you take a look, it's in the booklet. I photocopied the famous tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe understood that cooking the chama, the Gemara tells us, is not derech bishul b'kach. It's not the normal way to cook. So Rav Moshe says, you'll be chayiv for bishul on Shabbos even if you don't use fire. Just the Gemara says that being mevashel b'chama is going to be potter because it's not the derech to be mevashel. That's how Rashi seems to understand. So Rav Moshe says, nowadays, of course, cooking through a microwave is a normal way to cook. To cook with a sous vide. Last time I said the shir, it wasn't normal for people to cook with a sous vide. Now it's normal for people to cook with there was a lot to be mefalpel and hilchos Shabbos this past year on a sous vide. But now it's normal. So then that would also, according to Rav Moshe, that would be the yisur d'oraisa bishul. And Bishul Basar B'chalav. Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Rav Shlomo Zalman had Rayas, he had Nigley Tal, it seems, on his side, who held that the Isur D'Arais of Bishul is only Al Yidei Esh. And so therefore, Rav Shlomo Zalman held that a microwave on Shabbos is only going to be Asur D'Rabban. Comes up every once in a while. Let's say soldiers, in cases of Pikuach Nefesh, it's just as easy for them to cook through a microwave as well as through a fire. Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think this was a suggestion that he had given, that it would be better to cook, or in case of a chola and so on, better to cook via microwave than through a fire. According to Rav Moshe, it would come out, it doesn't make a difference. Could be that Rav Moshe is accentuating Rashi in Shabbos, in the third parak that emphasizes Derech. The Rambam might accentuate that it has to be Al Yidei Eish, and that was the position, I think, of the Igle Tav as well. So Nahara, Nahara, Upashte, Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman had this disagreement in regards to a microwave. Rav Shlomo Zalman's reverence for Rav Moshe was amazing. Rav Neman Sal told me that one day he came in, you know that Rav Neman Sal Shlita had a private chavrusa with Rav Shlomo Zalman. So he said that he once came in and Rav Shlomo Zalman was in an exceptionally good mood today, that day. So Rav Shlomo Zalman exclaimed to him, I was zeicha today to speak to Rav Moshe Feinstein. I spoke to Rav Moshe Feinstein on the phone. And the way Rav Neman Sal described him is almost like Lahavdil of Afados, a little kid was zeicha to speak to Michael Jordan. He was like, when Rav Shlomo Zalman spoke to Rav Moshe, he would stand up and he would put on his jacket and his hat before he spoke to Rav Moshe on the phone. That was the reverence that he had for Rav Moshe. Anyhow, but they had their selected disagreements. This is one of them. That's how Rav Neman Sal presented. Rav Miller Shlita, and I first heard from Miller, and I asked Rav Neman Sal if he agreed. There is a machlokas, if you will, between Rav Miller and Rav Neman Sal in regards to the following. Rav Miller had an interesting take. He thought, based on the Torah of his Rebbe, from Rav Soloveitchik, he thought that it could be that a microwave, even according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, would be asur min haTorah. Because what's the iser of basar b'chalav? What's the iser of basar b'chalav? It's to create this new conglomerate of basar b'chalav. So the derech is not going to be the most important factor. What's going to be more important is, in other words, it goes like this: the way Rav Miller said it, Even according to Rav Moshe, who holds that for something to qualify as bishul in general, in Kol HaTorah Kula, by Shabbos and by Karban Pesach and other instances, there the rule of thumb is that you're going to need fire. It could be that when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, that even Rav Shlomo Zalman would hold that a microwave also constitutes bishul. Because at the end of the day, the question is whether you created this new conglomerate of Basar B'Chalav through heat. It doesn't have to be in the normal derech of bishul. Any way you do it, you create the conglomerate. That's what Rav Miller suggested. He thought that it wasn't mukhrach that Rav Shlomo Zalman would hold. That was a derabbanan. And when I asked Rav Nevinsal, he thought not that way. Rav Nevinsal thought that at the end of the day, this is kavush. That's what Rav Nevinsal thought. This is kavush. The microwave is kavush in 2 seconds. That's what it is in 10 seconds. That's what it's kavush. Well, Rav Miller said no. Based on all the above Torah, that basar b'chalav is so different, it could be that will come out. That would be a chumrah in regards to basar b'chalav. I want to take your ha'ara, so I'll just wrap up with one more nafgamina that would be misameach in terms of these halachas. The Yalkut Yosef quotes a stira on the halacha of Ishun. This Yalkut Yosef appears on page Resh Pei Gimel. Is it a Farish Yerushalmi that Ishun is an Isser D'Oraisa on Shabbos? That if you steamed food, I used the wrong word now. Just trying to stay away from that. If you smoked food, we'll get to steaming shortly. If you smoked food on Shabbos, Yerushalmi is Mefurish. We said the Yerushalmi has a suffix by Ishun, by Basar B'Chalav. Yet, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there, the Yerushalmi is Mefurish, that Ishun on Shabbos is an Isser D'Oraisa Bishul. So the world, they ask, it's a stira. Why is it that when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, there the Yerushalmi leaves off with a Safek, yet when it comes to Shabbos, there the Yerushalmi is Mefurish. So, Rav Yosef Zatz Shlita quotes one of his Chaverim from his yeshiva, one of the Rabbeim. On page Resh Pei Dalet, he quotes one of the Ramim, Reb Tzvi Simantov, Ram B'Yeshiva Seinu HaMatira. He quotes him as saying a very fascinating svar to Mimi Ashiv. He says, when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, the derech is not important. What is it? Creating the conglomerate. To create the conglomerate. And the Yishayla of the Yush, through heat. And the Shaila of the Yerushalmi was, does Ishun create the same conglomerate that Bishul does? That was the Yerushalmi Shaila. Does Ishun create the same conglomerate that Bishul does? And leaves off as a suffix. However, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, there, as long as it's the derech to cook in that way, then you're going to be chayiv. So Yerushalmi says that when it comes to Ishun, there on Shabbos, if it's a derech, you're going to be chayiv. Like the way Rashi seems to say it, the way he's saying it out is the way Rashi, Vamevin Yavin, seems to say it by Bishul B'Shabbos being potter, because it's not the derech. So if it's a derech to do Ishun, Ishun is a normal way of cooking. So then, in such a case, Yerushalmi says, Dabar Pashi Chayiv. However, when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, there what we're focusing on is not the derech Bishul. Rather, the question is whether it creates the same metzius as Bishul itself. So he says, so then in such a case, Yerushalmi had a suffix. It would seem to me, we have to ask Rav Yosef's friend, it would seem to me then that today a microwave would definitely qualify. So that you saw that the Yalkut Yosef has fits very nicely with what Rav Miller Shlita had suggested. So that would be, that you saw that we had in Lamdus will also be the you saw that the Yalkut Yosef has to be Miyashev, the Yerushalmi. This B'Siyata D'Shmaya wraps almost everything up. In regards to different types of bishul, don't confuse Ishun with Kitor. Kitor is a Hebrew term called steam cooking. That was a famous debate and is a debate to this day, whether when you cook through steam as opposed through water, whether that's going to qualify as bishul. So for example, if you take Rav Sternbuch's position, Shuvas V'Hanogas Yoredeya, Chelek Gimel Simen Reish Mem Zayin, he holds that cooking through steam is considered bishul mamish, and therefore that will qualify as bishul basar b'chalav, and he knocks out a kula that Chacham Avadia and his son had used. And that is that some had suggested that cooking through steam is a way in which to get out of Bishul Akum. Says Rav Sternbuch, it's Bishul for Basal B'Chalav Doraisa, it's Bishul for Shabbos Doraisa, it's pure, pure Bishul, even though you're using a steam and you're not going to use water. However, Chacham Avadia Zatzal said he wasn't convinced at all that when it comes to cooking, steam is a different thing, it's not water, and therefore you take a look, Chacham Avadia and Hey Tess there says that when it comes to steam, that is not going to qualify. Finally, last form of cooking, Mishpatzo Zav, that's the Prima Gaddim's commentary on the Taz, in Sifkatan Aleph. He brings the last two forms of cooking. He says, Vihine Tzli Asa Min Ateira. Roasting is also a form of Bishul. That's actually a Xeris HaKasav, according to most poskim, that Tzli is also going to be considered a form of Bishul. There are times that the carbon Pesach is referred to as being mevushal al yedei tzli, even though paradoxically we know that a carbon Pesach cannot be mevushal. But in Navi, it's also referred to as Bishul. If you take a look in the Makoros that he quotes, so bottom line is that roasting basar b'chalav would also qualify. Tigun, which would best translate probably as frying, that the Prima Gaddim points out that the Pri Chadash is going to be Machmir on. However, he has a thesis in Sanhedrin, Dav Dalet Amud Beis, that seems to differentiate between Tigun and Bishul. Lashon of thesis, he quotes the thesis over there, it's a fascinating thesis. Thesis there says that Tigun is not Bishul. And from the mashmos of that tosos is that tigun doesn't qualify. So that's the machlokas haposkim, whether frying is going to fall into the last category. So our last Roman numeral was discussing the geder of bishul. What qualifies as bishul? We discussed the muushan, chamei tveria, muushan with that fascinating stira and the yishuv of Rav Yosef. That works beautifully with the discussion about the cooking in a microwave, where Bepashtus, Rav Nevinzal said that just like Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed by Shabbos, they would disagree by Basar B'Chalav, while Rav Miller thought that there might be room to say that even Rav Shlomo Zalman would hold that qualifies as Bishul. That you saw that Rav Miller used is also the way in which our chief rabbi was, I could say as Ashkenazi, the our chief rabbi was Miyashiv, the stira in the Yerushalmi, that's about creating a conglomerate. And then we have the halachos of Tigun and the halachos of Kitar. Mirtzeh Hashem, on Thursday, we're going to go on, we're going to get more into the Nosei Kelim themselves, now that we've gotten through the Hakdama in terms of Lo Sevashel, and in Mirtzeh Hashem, we are going to still be in Seifim Aleph through Vav. We're going to be going through the Shachs. There's a beautiful Dagar Mervava Sifkat and Aleph. Please come over to me and give me your email. Or you know what might be even easier? I used to pass around a piece of paper for emails. That's like pretty old fashioned, no? So why don't you just send me your emails? My email is, you should have it in general, it's chaimeisenstein@gmail.com, straightforward. And my phone number is, you could use for WhatsApp also, is 050741-0217. 050741-0217. My last name is spelled EISENSTEIN. And I'm looking forward to learning in the Beis Medrash with you. We should grow a lot.